Welcome back to a very special episode of B-Hall Radio. I'm your host, Brian Rowan, with Logan Everett. We are at episode 101. We have a very special guest tonight. He's getting ready to graduate this upcoming May. Team captain, four-time NCAA qualifier, EIWA champion, and most recently, NCAA All-American. Everybody knows who's here tonight. Welcome to the show, Ben Bazook.
Thank you very much. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you too, man. This is I'd say a long time coming. It feels like it's been like a month since NCAA. I don't know if it feels like it for you, but it feels like it was forever ago.
Yeah, I agree. No, it was crazy experience, really fun, very blessed to have opportunity to get the job done finally. So
I'm more jealous that you guys came off of NCAAs and then went straight into a week of spring break, because it was never that way. It was always the same week as NCAAs.
We got very lucky. This is actually the only year it's going to be like that, I think. Next year it's going back to the early March, because this year they tried to coordinate it so instructors and their kids and schools around could have around the same area. However, because of Easter moving back next year farther, it's spring break for like local areas getting moved to in the middle of April. So they're just pushing it back to early March. So it was a very, very encouraging to be able to have that after knowing we have after nationals.
I bet.
So yeah, it was great. I was able to go out to Florida, see my brother for about 3 to 4 days with two friends. And then, cause he's in chiropractic school in Daytona Beach. So it was nice to see him. Then went home for a couple of days.
Did you guys get to leave like straight from Kansas City, or did you have to fly back to? Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah. We got to leave right from there.
That's awesome.
Man.
Are you like bringing a bag around? It's like, all right, see you guys. Like, we're heading out.
It was funny. No, I had my spring break bag and my wrestling bag. So,
yeah, the coach was like, "Hey, put that spring break bag away until we're done here, and then you can pull that bad boy out." Yeah, I'm sure it's I mean, for you, you know, spring break is always like, especially this year, it's like, you know, kind of bittersweet. It's like that last break. I'm sure like the time's flying by already, especially if you look at your schedule. That's just like, time's crunching down. Like, have you taken up any other hobbies since you've been back?
Well, I always loved golf. So that's something that I went out twice over spring break, and I already have two tee times lined up with friends over the next couple of days. So golf is something I love, but I'm getting the coaching phase now since I'm going to AI next year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to at the prep school. So just getting ready for that. And it's exciting.
After my senior year, I did, freaking like company athletics on the handball team. I just would show up for practices. They'd be like, "Hey, we got a drill today." I was like, I'm busy. Like, I'll show up to the games. But other than that, you won't see me. And it kind of worked out. They were pumped about me playing. And honestly, I had a great time doing it. So it was pretty cool. That was like the only real time I felt like I really kind of got to bond like with the kids in my company.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like you're so detached from them most times that it's like, it was kind of cool just to get out there and play. It was a good time.
Yeah, that's something I try to do, because I know with wrestling, you have no time. So like if we ever have like a company barbecue or something, I'll try to show up, get some free food, but also just to show my face around a little bit so I can have a little involvement. So I'm pretty close with some of the people in the company, but it's nice to be able to have the wrestling team and be able to communicate with people in your company too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you've probably heard it a bunch, but like, spring of your first year, it doesn't get much better than that. Like, it is just, looking back, it was like one of the most, you know, the best times of my life, you know. And now I wasn't as good as of a student as you, you know, so, you know, I was
struggling to like,
hey, really, no, but I was, you know, that far along, like if you're really struggling to pass your classes, like you're like, I wasn't that bad. You know, but I also wasn't good enough to where I'm like, okay, I'm trying to, you know, maintain a certain grade point average to the end. Like I was checked out. Now, I guess my advice, enjoy the next few months. I know it sounds like you guys went out to the first year last night with Colonel Gist and were able to, you know, hang out for a bit. So what's it like, you know, I guess during the week now as a firstie, you know, these days as a cadet? Do you guys, you know, is it more social, or is it still like kind of Monday through Thursday grind? What's it like?
So for me, it's pretty nice right now. I have like next 2 weeks are going to be a little more heavy, but so far it's once you become a firstie, I felt like it's, you have those hard requirements, but you know what you really have to like focus on. It's more of the requirements are like 15% of your grade or getting ahead on work. So I've been doing a lot better. Like this year, my grades have been a lot higher, even though I haven't put as much work in as like my freshman or sophomore year. So I think that it's about maintaining where you need to like apply yourself. And at this point, there's only like laws, like the one class that I'm like, I actually have to apply myself still and do the readings and to make sure my grades stay up there. But the other classes, we have basically all seniors. So they know we're checked out and they're just like, come on guys, we have one more month. Let's try to push through. But grade wise, I feel pretty good. And law is the only one that I have to maintain and keep pushing in. But other than that, school, yeah, it's just going to practice and it's a lot different now, like not being on the mat. Like we're still like wrestling with them and stuff, but it's completely different whenever you're not the one that's trying to get better. You're trying to get other people better. So, but it's a cool experience to be able to see.
Did they do anything cool for you? Did they do anything in the mess hall or anything like sweet when you got back or no?
No, it was a week later. So, I mean, like teachers and everyone, like they congratulated me in class and shouted me out. But, and then everyone I see is like, you can tell like some people know wrestling, some people don't. Yeah. Some people are like, oh my gosh, that's the biggest thing. Others are like, that's so cool, all American. But I think overall it was cool just getting celebration. And Tyler Morris, it was really nice of him. He made a nice little like banner and made a poster for me. And like he DM'd people and texted people for like quotes about it. And he had like 50 quotes on the back of the poster of what people said about me. So, and congratulating me. So it was really nice of him setting that up. So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I was expecting like a bed sheet out the window.
No, there's none of that.
I was pretty happy with that.
I'd probably get more street cred too. The bed sheet out the window.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In Central Area?
There's huge. I mean, no, there is a lot of those. It's they also like beat Navy and beat Air Force and stuff.
Yeah. I spent most of my cadet career trying to have people not know who I was. At the time, I was like, this is the way through. Like, if just nobody knows me, I'll just sneak out at the end. I probably would have been a little embarrassed. But we can kind of move on from spring here and just talk about, you know, this was your fourth trip to NCAAs. Like, I think freshman year, were you round of 12 or 16?
Round 16.
Yeah, round of 16. I mean, probably a completely different tournament that freshman year, but... you know, what did it feel like for you to finally get through, you know, this fourth time? And do you feel like, you know, anything was different about this year's tournament as compared to the previous four?
Oh, for sure. This time going through, I knew it was my last opportunity to be there. So, I mean, I know that can be a lot of pressure on some people and looking at like, this is your last chance, like don't mess it up. But for me, like throughout high school and throughout middle school, like my dad's been my coach my entire life. So throughout those moments in high school, I was a three-time runner up in high school and then won it my senior year. But I was nervous going into my senior year and everyone's like last shot, like, cause there was never been a four-time runner up. So I was like, hopefully yeah. I don't, not the first, but he always like emphasized, it's just another match. Don't look at it as anything bigger than it is. So the national tournament's always been such a fun tournament for me, even though I never was able to accomplish my goal the first 3 years. It's just like, it's the environment's so much different than anything else. It's slower paced because you're not wrestling every hour or so, like a regular tournament. So just the experience in itself is so, so fun and so enjoyable. And I really took in the moment, like going out there, just looking around. And then when I went on the mat, I always say my prayer before, give all the glory to God. And I know that he's with me throughout the whole opportunity. So I'm excited about that. And I ask for joy and just peace and to have fun. If I'm out there having fun, then that's all that matters for me. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So every match out there, I was having fun. And the biggest turnaround for me actually was, cause I I'm more of a straight on shooter and I'm bad at angles. And that's something I've always been trying to work on in hand fighting. But my match against Navy, at EIWAs, whenever we got close to the wire, call overturned, and then finally I'm able to do a little bear lock, pick him up, take him with like 2 seconds left. I never have like reacted like that after a match where I was so pumped and so excited. It like brought a joy and excitement that I was like, I was so pumped for this, and it made it so I just decided, like, let's just let things fly. And so after that, like going to nationals, I felt like I never, the way I wrestled was the best I've ever wrestled throughout my college career when it mattered most. And I was able to just have fun. I did another body lock against the Wisconsin guy, and I was trying throws using a single leg, which give all credit to Coach Ward on that single leg that we've been working on, because five of the seven guys, my first takedown was the club single. And it's something that we've been working on just the last 2 months. Like before that, there was never really much involvement, but by being able to work on that and apply myself there, he was always like, cause I would shoot the single, I would always let go. And he was like, no, hold on both two hands, keep the hand. And then from doing that and slow finishes, it really made it so I was able to, I think that's one of the biggest things that separated myself, and it made it so I was able to create more angles. And Gunner always gave me a great look. We've been partners basically the last month or so, last 2 months, maybe every day. And he's a funky wrestler. So being able to have him there, he was one guy I could never get the single leg on. I was like, what am I doing wrong? And I started feeling the pressure he was giving me was different. And a good wrestler is going to give you different pressure than you want. So learning how to feel it and time it up right with him, it's what really separated it from me. So.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you mentioned being able to like look around when you're on the mat and kind of like take things in. I think, you know, like that was probably a spot that I never really got to being there. Like, I just remember, you know, honestly, you talk about the time difference being like, you have way more time than a normal tournament. And like, I always talk about that. I was like that, like it throws you off. Like, especially like if it's your first time there, like where you're like, holy cow, like you know, especially like if you have a big win and you're like, now I got to sit on this win for like 8 hours and like, you know, look at the wall, like, what am I doing? Like, you know, you have way too much time from on one aspect. You know, if you are somebody that can kind of overthink things to like really overthink what you have coming up, it's like not one of those things where, hey, I'm wrestling well, I just got off the mat, you know, an hour later, I'm back out there like doing the same thing. You know, so it's really cool to just kind of hear you talk about being able to take it in and like soak in that moment and not really get too overwhelmed from that. I think, and it was very obvious, like you definitely got better. It felt like every match was like, holy cow, he's just getting better every time. And you could kind of see that, and that goes along with having a lot of fun from that. Although I do have to talk, we talked about this on the last one. I don't know if we talked about this on air or not, Brian, but, your round of 12 match, you get hit with a stall right at the end for backing out. Like, you come back to the center, there's like 8 seconds left. You do the exact same thing, and they didn't call it. It was like
don't back up. Just don't do what thing. You just did. And then you did exactly what you did. And I rewatched it, and I was like, dude, you could have got hit again. Like, it was the exact same. But the rep, you know.
Thank God he didn't do it. He shouldn't have. It was just like watching it on TV. I was like, oh my God, he just did the same thing. I was like, they're going to hit him for sure. And then they did. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe it.
Yeah. In the moment, I didn't remember if they called it on the 8 second one or like the one that was after that. But it was weird because in the moment, the one time he took me down was off my shot. So I was like 30 seconds left. I am not about to get beat by taking a shot and him swinging on me. So. Yeah. And that's the problem. Like, my style of wrestling, if I'm not thinking offense, then I'm not the best. Like, I wrestle good defense if I'm thinking offense. But same thing happened with the Cade DeVos match. Whenever I was wrestling, I started thinking too much of, I need a good setup. And then whenever I was thinking a good setup, he shot and I didn't react. So it's just something for me is if I constantly am thinking offensive, it helps me like stay a good wrestler. So.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, they're going to hit him for sure. And they did it. I was so happy. But
it all worked out. It doesn't matter.
Sure that there was a moment in the coach's corner where like both their hearts drop and they just look at the official. They didn't do anything. They're like, okay, I guess we're all right.
So you spoke a little bit about, you know, having a lot of time in between matches. And we talked to Coach last week, Coach Ward last week about, you know, the preparation he gives to you, you know, before matches, things like that. And he said, hey, like, you know, you do a lot of, you know, you have your own routine. He kind of lets you do your own thing. You watch video on your own. Like, were you preparing like one match at a time and watching a lot of video of these guys, you know, going round by round, or like walk us through how you were kind of approaching, you know, the next match having several hours, you know, were you doing a lot of video prep? Was it a, you know, other thing? Kind of walk us through that a little bit.
So something that I always do is I do always watch the person, but I never watch the person after them until, like, because I'm not going to expect to wrestle someone before I wrestle that match, because if I lose, I'm not going to wrestle them. So I know I have to just focus on one person at a time. But ever since growing up, my dad and mom always, we always would scout together, and I followed through in college. Like, I would watch people on my own, but every single match I would go with my parents, watch the match. That, like, they both really know wrestling, so they'll help me, talk me through it, and just, like, you know what to watch for. And then once I feel confident, I'm ready to go. I usually don't, like, do too much. I know what their tendencies are, but I don't think too far into it. I don't change my style for it unless I know they're, like, if they want to meet an overhook, I'm not going to give them an overhook and stuff. But that's something that after Coach Ward knows that we do that. So he whenever he comes up to me, he'll be like, hey, you know what to look for? And I'll tell him what I know the kid does. He'll get, if he has any extra, he'll say it, but then he'll be like, all right, you're good to go. So that's something that we've always just done throughout my career. And then he, before matches, he gives me my space. I just listen to some music, usually listen to, like, a couple of same songs. And then I, for like a minute or the period before the match is over, I take my headphones out and just get ready to go. And Coach Green will say a couple things too, but they never really said much throughout my matches or warming, getting ready for it. So.
Nice. Do you watch like the guy you're wrestling, do you watch like a few of his matches or like the last match that he wrestled?
A win and a loss.
Well, it depends. If we know he had a good match with someone or high scoring, we'll look at those just to see how he scores. And then maybe someone that he wrestled that was good, just to see like how that happened. Cause you see him wrestle someone that like he just texts, like, what are you really gonna learn from that?
Yeah.
So it just depends. Like at nationals, we just watch the matches they wrestled against other people at nationals. But because if you look back, like I wrestled completely different 5 months ago than I did at national tournament. So right. I'm not gonna look back that far because they people change styles throughout the season. So
yeah,
especially if they get something that's really working well for them, like
yes,
you know, in the past 2 days, then it might be cool to know.
I guess going back to or Logan, do you have anything more on this incident?
No, I was just interested. Like, you know, I would always try to watch people. Okay, this is a match that they won. Now this is a match that they lost. Like, you know, what did they do differently? What positions were they not in the match that they lost versus like, you know, where are positions that they might feel uncomfortable? You know, I was not too much of a film watcher. I wouldn't say like I would watch like two matches, maybe three, be like, okay, I get what I get. Like if I don't get anything out of it, then, you know, you got to go with what works for you. But
yeah, I'm the same way there.
Back in my day.
Yeah. You were like, probably VHS, huh?
We weren't that far, but floor wrestling was not around back then. There, you know, it took a lot to try to get some, you know, the coaches would scout, but they'd go and watch, you know, and then they'd say, hey, watch for that. He's good at this on top. He's good at this on bottom. You weren't watching a lot of tape.
Yeah.
Oh man. So, I guess, yeah, like, when you look back at your career, like over the last 4 years, your first, you know, experience in NCAAs was the crazy COVID year in, you know, in St. Louis, you know, and now 4 years later, you know, there's 20,000 people, crazy experience in Kansas City, you know, looking back, you know, to your first experience and going there, you know, what are some things you learned that, you know, maybe that you would share to somebody, you know, in high school or just starting out in college who hasn't made it to the tournament yet to like give advice as a, you know, four-time qualifier that you've learned over the years?
The biggest thing I would say is you are good enough. If you're there, you're good enough to place. You see everyone upsets all the time. Like I was 18 seed and was able to All-American, but you see David Key, 25 or 26 seed All-American. I think that the biggest thing is if you make it to the national tournament, you are good enough to place no matter what your seed is, because that's something my freshman year, I went 2-2 like Braden did this year. And I, whenever I was wrestling Jackson Turley, he ended up beating me in the round of 16 and I was beating him in the match. And then I shot a high crotch and he pancaked me to my back and pinned me. He ended up winning the next match in All-American that year. But my mindset that year was a little different. Like whenever I faced Michael Kemmer, and it was, my mindset wasn't I can beat him. It was like, okay, keep the match as close as I can. And then when I made it to being 2-2, I was like, man, I'm doing really good as like a plebe. So I made it farther than I thought I would. And I think my mind was like, I knew I was good enough, but it was more in the mindset of like, I felt happy with where I was and satisfied rather than thinking, no, this is the year I can place and I can do it. And I think that's what like this year was obviously different, where I like, this is my last opportunity. I know I'm good enough. I know I can do it no matter what they see me or where I'm at. And I think that's what helped me get the job done this year, is just believing myself.
So it's such a tough tournament. It's like, you know, you really see a lot of people that, you know, a lot of really, really good wrestlers that can't really flip the switch on the backside too, right? Like, everyone has the goal of, all right, I want to go here and win the thing, you know, and then when it doesn't happen, like, you'll see a lot of really good wrestlers that like can't make the shift to, okay, now I need to come back on the backside. And it's just, you'll see them crumble a lot, which is, you know, crazy. And really, you had a, you know, a pretty strong backside performance for the most of your career. So it's always been impressive.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And it was nice. I mean, a lot of your matches weren't even that close. You know, it's like an NCAA tournament, usually like the backside, you know, the first round of Concy's, the second round. I was telling everybody, like, I feel like the guttiest round of wrestling isn't the All American round. It's the round of 16, because half the people in the arena leave. You know, it's two guys that are probably seated, you know, somewhere between like 8 and 20, where it's pretty close, and there's just these like gutsy matches that are, you know, usually like low scoring, and just, you know, there's so much on the line, and nobody's there watching it. And you're going up against Sin Contrero, and just you could beat him up. You know, you just kept, you could have stopped wrestling. You could have been like, okay, I'm up by, you know, a few points here, and you just kept scoring more takedowns.
Yeah, no, that was really fun, because he's someone that, he beat me twice. I beat him once, but the one time I beat him, he was like kind of beat up and hurt. So it was a cool experience being able to do that. And it, like, his coach came up to Coach Green, told me after, and was like, what just happened? Like, he was shocked by it. And it was cool being able to do that, because Nick and Contreras, he's an extremely hard person to score on, and being able to take him down 4 times, I don't know if he was taken down that many times in the tournament altogether. So it was cool being able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how does this year, like, you know, and every other year with fans, like, what's it like competing with no fans? I mean, I can't even imagine, it probably doesn't even feel, it feels like the dang practice room. Like, you know, I don't, how do you like rep, how is that moment like replicated at all with no fans? Like, I'm sure like it feels like it, but it, you know, you probably didn't know at the time as like the first trip there that it's like, man, there's nobody here. Like, this is just weird. But, you know, how do you compare that to like, you know, what you went through the last 3 years?
It was definitely different. It wasn't, that's what I'll say. Like, it wasn't as nerve-wracking with the fans around because no one was there, but
yeah,
we were able to have like our family there and stuff. So, and they were all in the, like, the top row. So no one was in the
upper deck.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a different experience for sure. I would say actually like being your first time there, it was a lot more relieving, probably not having like coming out like, holy crap, there's a lot of people here. So I would say it helped me in a way the first time going, but it's definitely a lot more cool and a lot more fun whenever you have the crowd, because even my first match, whenever I got head and arm and somehow I was able to roll through it and then put him to his back, I like, you could hear the crowd erupt when I got thrown. And then whenever I rolled through again, it was just cool hearing the sound effects really in the matches.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is kind of like a two-parter.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're online at least a little bit. You know, people have been talking about Hendrickson from Air Force trying to compete again. You know, have you guys, you know, it'll be two parts here, but I'll ask the first one, you know, like, have you looked into that at all? Is it something that you're interested in? Do you think that you're done? You know, as of now, like, I understand probably the process for you would have to be to get, you know, that granted through the school, but then also, you know, up through the Pentagon and all that stuff, if you're not already like in a grad so position. For me, like, you know, this is kind of like a listener question that we got from a bunch of people, but we already had it on the docket anyways. But, you know, I think that if you're not already into that grad so route, you know, I don't know what that process looks like. Have you considered it at all, or has anybody kind of approached you about being able to do that?
No, there was no, haven't been approached about it at all. And there's been no situation about what if for that. because I feel like if I would have been pursuing that, I would have done WCAP and went to that program. But I know Wyatt is doing that, I believe. I think he's like going to graduate school, maybe Columbia or something. So I know that he's trying to pursue that, which is awesome for him. I'm ready to get out and serve our country and get, because I'm getting married June 1st. So get ready, get married and have fun. And I think that I'm very blessed with the 5 years I've had in wrestling, with the prep school and the 4 years, but I'm ready to move on with life. And I'm happy with, I was able to finish the way I did.
Yeah, I figured that was a possibility. I don't know. I'm assuming that's what they're doing at these other service academies is just going a grad so and then being able to compete. And it's probably really only because you guys have the extra year of eligibility. I honestly don't think you'll see it again after this year. Like, I don't know a situation where somebody could do it and have enough eligibility unless they didn't wrestle, like their first or second year.
Your plebe year, if you only wrestled in open tournaments, you weren't attached, it would just
or less than five. What can you do less than five now?
What
can you do less than five now and not lose a year of eligibility?
What do you mean less than five?
School meets.
I think
there's there's a certain amount of actual competitions you can wrestle in and not lose.
Yeah, if you're a true freshman, then you can do So even then, so you have those five there. So. I don't think it's really been explored that much, I don't know, with before NIL and the transfer portal, how many guys from the service academy were being, targeted, why it's, probably the only one before the NCAA tournament that they were that people were probably actively seeking out.
Yeah.
But I would think that it's getting treated almost like a scholarship, because he's going to go to Columbia and, they're going to pay for it. It's not the DOD is going to have to pay for it. Like, they're going to be willing to pay for it. So I feel it's almost like he got a scholarship to go, get a graduate degree and they're allowing him to do that. This is all me shooting it from the hip, but I would think that this could be fairly, this could be common, not common, but this could happen on other instances, just because it's a free COVID year. Cadets get hurt, and lose a year. You still have that year of eligibility. So I think that could be something that happens. And this could be a precedent that sets, with them letting Wyatt do this, that this is something you could explore. And it's not like you're going to be a professional, wrestler at some point. You're going to be, training in RTC or, outside of WCAP. But I could see this being, people getting a bonus year. But, man, after 4 years at the academy, I give it to Wyatt because
yeah, it's tough.
This time of your first year, the last thing you want to do is wrestle another year and go back to college.
Well, even the WCAP idea sometimes is so looming. You're like, five more years of this? It's like, oh my God, my knees won't survive.
Yeah, OG had the perfect body. He never got hurt except for the senior year, that one little freak accident. Before that, his body was meant for wrestling. So.
Oh, yeah, he's back now, too.
Yep.
Shout out, OG. So that was we kind of hit both parts there with the, it's, are you looking at it and then just, how it works. I hope it does happen more just to, anytime that we can set a precedent. I hate to use that legal term probably incorrectly in this situation. But, anytime that you can actually set that, it's like, hey, this person did it. And they let them do that, especially coming out of the service academy, they're so strict with what you can do, especially, if you're a football player, you had a really good year somewhere, hey, I might be able to get, drafted if I go do grad school at this school and play for a big market or something. I think there's a lot of potential in that. I would love to see them explore that because it doesn't hurt anybody. It's just, it's foreign. So I think people don't like it, but.
Yeah, West Point does not like change.
No. But, we did change the what did we change? Didn't we just change the mission statement or something?
There was talk about it, but I think it was more of a rumor because we got an email sent out saying it has not been changed about our mission.
Oh, good. Yeah, so they said you still can't cheat on tests, so don't try it.
Yes. Yeah. It was. I think it was just a rumor, but it did not change.
Yeah, don't dive too far deep into that. We don't want you, you know, you haven't graduated yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give any opinions, don't give anything. I'll come on here, you know, hooting and hollering about all kinds of stuff. Nobody's coming to me. I'll have somebody knocking on your door tomorrow morning saying, hey, I heard what you said last night on B-Haw. But congrats for your upcoming wedding.
Thank you.
Exciting. Is your fiance planning most of it? Are you, you know, fully?
She likes to always tell me I'm not doing much in it, which I'm not. Her mom helps a lot too, which is a common thing. But I'm in charge of the honeymoon, so I've been playing that. We're going to Aruba, so exciting about that. So it'll be fun. But yeah, she's doing most of it. I can't take any credit for that.
Nice. Well, we'll have to talk offline. I got married New Year's Eve, and I felt like I thought through everything. And there's a lot of things I think that people don't think about.
Okay. Yes. Sounds good.
We'll talk offline about that. Right. So is she moving to West Point? Like once you guys get married, you know, for the 6 months, or are you guys going to be separate for a little while?
So it's funny because we didn't meet until I came to prep school, but we live 15 minutes away from each other at home. We just go to two different schools. So we met when I was at prep school, just through like Snapchat. And then I ended up started talking to her, went home, COVID happened. So it was a great time to be able to hang out for like 4 months, get to know her, and then made all the way through West Point. Once I graduate, we're getting married. And then, yeah, she's moving up, but she still has one more year of college at Ohio Northern. So she's going to leave around, we'll live together for about 2 months. She's going to leave to go back to college, finish college. It works out perfect though, because I'll be in AI. After I go to, I'm done being AI, go to Bullock. Hopefully after that, get into Ranger School. And then by the time I'm done with Ranger School, we'll head out to Hawaii together. So it works out there because I know someone else I know, Grace Reese, she's a manager for the wrestling team, and they're engaged, her and her fiance. He graduated last year. Well, they had to postpone their wedding because he's in Ranger School right now, and they don't know if he's going to be done by June or not. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Common problem. 60 days sounds good until it's 90, and then,
Man, dude, that would suck.
I know.
Listen, I don't know if the Marchettis are listening on this one, but Patrick had to like finish for the birth of his child.
Really?
Like that? Yeah. Like as Claire was pregnant during the whole thing. Like I remember Mark being so stressed about it was because Patrick was, you know, 4 years older than us, and Mark was in my class, and like Mark got to go to his graduation, and luckily he'd finished in time. But it was. That would have been a some pretty decent motivation, I think, while you're there to try to get done.
I agree.
Okay, so, you know, we don't want to get too far along into this without kind of going back to talk about the victory over Navy, you know, and then kind of swinging right into, you know, a team trophy at EIWA's. Like, talk a little bit about, you know, what type of state the team was in going into that duel, and then how that kind of fueled, you know, a pretty cool run here at the end of the year.
I think that this year, over any other year, our team, we were right there. It's like weird calls. We knew we had it last year, but this year, more than any year, we knew we had the opportunity, and we knew we had the capability to beat them, and it wouldn't have been an upset. So even though their like ranking was higher than us, we knew how good we were as a team. And throughout the year, we started with a couple of losses, and but then from there, we made a change and we pushed through. So I think we only got better throughout the year. And it was through changes in like Coach Ward decided like different changes through our schedule, how we're going to go about practices, days off. And I think it only helped us, and it made it so we were able to perform at our best when it mattered. And for the Army Navy match overall, like, yeah, it came down to a scary little ending, but I think we fought our butts off, and Matt knew that Matt just wanted to go out and win. He knew the hardest thing to be honest is to go out there and think all I can do is not get pinned. I think that's worse than even thinking like not to lose. So I think that he wanted the win, and that's his mindset, has always got there and win. So, but no, I was very happy with how we performed overall. I thought that we had some great matches. Like Gunner had one of his greatest matches there. He showed it. But I thought that it was a great memory, and it was awesome being able to get our first star match since I've been here. So,
Yeah, man, you got you in particular looked so happy after that match. The video clip that they, you know, that put out, like it hyper focused on you at one point. That was it was really cool to watch.
I think there was just there were so many emotions in that last minute or so that went like just so many emotions going around, not knowing, like uncertain, and then but it was ended all good, so it was good.
Oh, that was wild.
Yeah, I lost at least 2 years off my life at the end of that.
You know, kind of going back to, you know, we don't want to go too deep into like, you know, some episodes we went like, how did you start wrestling and all this stuff? And, you know, we would kind of want to more focus on your West Point career, but you know, you had a, you know, we did want to touch on why you chose West Point and, you know, how you came to hear about it. And you talked, you know, briefly before about, you know, you were, you know, very successful high school wrestler, 3-time runner up and a state champ, you know, finally your senior year in Ohio, well, you know, won a national title your senior year as well. You know, when did you first, you know, start looking at West Point and what drew you ultimately to West Point over some other colleges?
A quick story is no one in my family's ever been in the military. So like my sophomore year, Lane, he's from our area back home and we always like knew each other growing up. So he was here and he started like quickly just like saying, hey, should look here. It's a great school. My mom said stuff. I was like, heck no, I'm not going, like, I never considered the military. I was like, no, I don't want to go for, I won't go to the military. I'll go for just wrestling. And I started looking around at colleges and I started like, my mom just consider it. Like they didn't push it at all. They said, just consider like looking at it. Cause they knew like the impact you would have from being at West Point. And so I was like, okay. So about a year later, it started my junior year. I was like, I'll go looking at it and stuff. So I came on a visit with hung out with Lane here, and Lane loves this place more than anyone. He has the best, most positive mindset out of anyone I've met. So he was just all hype about it. And when it came in here, I was like, this is awesome. I was so pumped, so excited. And I started looking at it and I was like, where's going to set me up best for life? And I know with like Big Ten schools, they're awesome. Like, yes, you can go there, wrestle. However, I've heard a lot of stories about people going D1, have an education, switching their education to something just to, that's, they graduate and they have nothing to like go off of. And I was like, I have a life ahead of me after wrestling. It's only 5 years of my life and then I have a life to live. So I was looking, where's that set me up best for my future? And there was nothing like West Point. And I knew that the leadership abilities that you're going to grow from and development you're going to get here, the friendships, it's like no other. And seeing the wrestling team just from an outside perspective, their brotherhood and how close they were. Every other place I went to visit, there was nothing like that on the wrestling teams. So I knew that no matter how hard it would be, it was the right place for me. And I was excited for it. And then coming here, obviously, freshman and like prep school and freshman year, it's a shell shock. But overall, that's what really, like, Lane's the one who talked me about coming here. And then if it wasn't for him, I would never even like knew about it or consider it. But so I give him all the credit for getting me here. And no, very happy I did it overall.
Where else were you looking?
I went like on a visit for like Oklahoma, West Virginia, places like that. I went to Kent State for a visit, but I went to those three and then I was like, I came to West Point, and after I came to West Point for my official visit, I committed. I just knew it was the right place just looking. So I didn't go on any other visits anywhere else. And it was like beginning of my senior year, I just knew it was the right place. So
yeah, they're probably not doing a leaders challenge, you know, during Dean's hour at Oklahoma.
Exactly.
It is such a hard sell, or like, you know, not a hard sell, but just there is a lot more that goes into it. Right. And I think that sometimes can steer people away. Like, you know, what would be one thing that you could tell recruits that, you know, would maybe impact some of their decisions? Like, I think sometimes it seems like from the outside, like if you're not in on military service, you don't know anybody that's ever served in the military. Like, it seems like it's like this big dark cloud, like, you know, it's such a bad thing, but it's, you know, I think most people who've, you know, been in the military or had that experience, like, don't feel that way at all. You know, what's one thing that, you know, you think we could kind of talk to recruits about, or should be pitched to recruits maybe about, you know, what goes into West Point that could kind of help sell it?
I think that one of the biggest things was, especially for me, that I, like, looking back, was I got really homesick right away because I'm from Ohio and really close to my family. So just the adjustment was really hard for me at first. But I would tell them, like, the opportunity you get to grow from being away. Both my brothers went to college 2 hours away from home, so they could come home whenever they wanted. However, they never felt like they, like, got the opportunity to truly get out of the house at first. The first 2 years, they always had the route back home. But when I came to West Point, it was like, you're not going to go back home. So you're going to learn to develop independently. And I think it's so important for life to be able to, in a way, survive on your own and not have a backup plan. And that's what helped me stay, to be honest. Cause, like, there was times at prep school and Playview, like, with COVID, I was like, I just went out of here. Like, anything I can do just to leave. But what I did, I knew there would be like times like that. Cause Lane warned me, like, there's going to be times you feel like leaving and, like, you don't want to be here cause it is going to be tough. So I made no backup plan. Like, I told all the coaches, like that were recruiting me. I said, there's no way. They always said, like, if you ever leave, we have this place open for you. But I was like, there's no way I'm leaving. And I made it so, like, I had the door shut so I would push through. And I think that was huge, not having a backup plan, because it's so easy to put yourself in a position where things get hard your first time on your own to be like, nope, I want to get out of here. So that's what I would encourage them to.
I was joking with one of my buddies the other day. Like, we had seen this video of somebody, and we were joking about, like, you know, I wish I could be that brave because this person had, like, quit something. I was like, the most brave people are the ones that could go and admit that they're going to quit to somebody. Cause, like, that you could, I could never do it. Like, I can't go to anybody and tell them that I'm going to quit. Like, it takes somebody really, really brave to be able to do that. And I just was never brave enough to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what was, you know, when you first get to West Point, like, I guess, COVID didn't kick off until you were at prep school, right?
Yes. So I was sick, about 7 to 8 months in.
And yeah. Then so then happened. They kick you back. And then, like, what do they tell you for coming back for R Day? And then, like, what does R Day look like with all this COVID stuff?
Oh, it was crazy. I'll be honest. The best thing was, like, I had a blast being at home during COVID because I had freedom and, like, at prep school, we really did.
Oh, yeah, you had it taken away for a little while, and then you got it back.
I was perfectly okay being home as long as possible.
Yeah.
But coming back, it was crazy because they had the three-day beast where you came back in little groups. So you were just stuck in we came back a week early for prep school. So we were stuck here for a week before that. And then you came back in groups. COVID was awful with that because you had a mask on the entire time. It was good for not being seen talking or not being seen, like, looking around and stuff, but
yeah,
it lasted for the full year of a plebe year of wearing masks. So that part was not fun. And, like, we had no privileges. It sucks for seniors because they couldn't leave at all. But overall, yeah, I'm glad COVID's over for sure.
Man, it feels like forever. I'm like, I'm looking back at some of the
things. I know it does. I'm like, dang, it feels like so long ago and you're still there. It's like,
R Day, like, I'm guessing they couldn't yell at you because they couldn't be that close to you. Like, how did they do hazing and stuff like that during R Day? Or was R Day?
It was not hazing, Brian.
Hey, this isn't a West Point affiliate.
It's called indoctrination.
We can say what we want to say.
No, they still, what I remember, they were still able to get in our face. We both had a mask on, so, you know, they said there was no contact. But what I believe, they were still able to yell at us and get close. But there were a couple outbreaks where, like, people had to, like, get sheltered in and stuff. And then, of course, whenever we got shut down for the wrestling team, I was the first one on the wrestling team to be able to get COVID there when I tested because my roommate gave it to me. And then we were supposed to wrestle Air Force that week. And then we got shut down. So that was a difficult wrestling year too, because full first semester, not wrestling, but we were doing lots of, like, matches and mini tournaments in the room. So it felt like we were wrestling before we even got started.
Yeah. I was saying, I've been like, during Beast, you're like, man, I'm getting sick, waking up every day. I'm feeling kind of sick. Yeah. I'm feeling kind of sick. I think I might need a few days to recover.
Oh man. I guess let's move on from there. I mean, kind of going back, one thing that I noticed from this is more, current events that I noticed from NCAAs, listening to interviews, semifinals, finals, a lot of people talked about, it seemed like everybody talked about, gratitude and like overcoming adversity. Like those two attributes were two that really stuck out in successful wrestlers at the tournament. Talk to us a little bit about those two areas and how it contributed to, your success, or if they did.
Yeah, something that for gratitude that I think is very awesome is seeing all the interviews, like after national finals, just seeing how they were giving all glory to God and seeing how they were using their platform to give the glory to God, because that's something that very big in my life and want to make sure that the impact I'm making is through Christ and to others. So I think that just being grateful for the opportunity you're given and being able to use that through your matches. And that's something that whenever I'm wrestling, I'm always thinking, how can I make this situation where I can impact others? I'm not just wrestling for myself. I'm wrestling for those around me, those that are supporting me and the future generations. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm very grateful for the moment God's blessed me with and with the talents he gave me, because college wrestling is different and it's a really cool opportunity, but God gave me this opportunity and I'm excited for it. And then adversity, that's a huge one. That's something that, like, I've been out for 6 weeks, my freshman year, sophomore year, junior, I had a back injury. Just overcoming injuries in wrestling is so, so difficult in the moment, because you're sitting off the mat when you want to be on the mat, and it's way worse being off the mat, even though whenever you're wrestling through hard days, you're like, I'd rather be off the mat. But this year, something that I really focused on was staying in good positions. And that's what I think helped me. I know in the beginning of the year, I had a back injury then too. So, but learning to like work through positions, but in a smart way. The first two times I tore both LCLs from pushing through a position, which I knew was bad, but I was like, I'm going to fight through it. And then I messed up my knee. So I was like, this year I was focusing, if I got a bad position, I was okay giving up takedowns to not hurt myself. So I was out for 6 weeks compared to pushing through it. And I think that it helped me develop as a wrestler, because I wasn't putting myself in bad positions to start with, and just working through positions overall. I think that in wrestling, you got to keep your body healthy if you want to wrestle good. And for me, something that always helps me is if I feel good, I wrestle my best. So I know some people can, like Nate Lucas, he can grind through everything every day, and he wrestles great that way. Like something that I do, which people will sometimes be like, you just don't work as hard. But like I truly take my off days seriously, and I make sure I get my rehab I need in, and I like mentally work on like my mental game. But when I'm wrestling, I make sure that I give it my all every day, but recovery days are just as important. And I think that that's something that in the wrestling world, some people see it as maybe you're like taking time off, but your body has to be healthy when you're wrestling. So I always took that seriously in my career, that I think was very beneficial for me.
Yeah, I think across the country, I mean, people have noticed, people are wrestling less matches in college, and that doesn't necessarily, people may still be practicing a lot, but it seems like people are being more, more aware of how important recovery is, and, not overtraining, not doing the Iowa style, and more, a more sophisticated way of going about training and to be successful. So that's good to hear. That's, I appreciate you sharing that.
Of course.
One thing that we haven't talked about so far is, your academic success. I wouldn't call you a nerd, but I mean, you're pretty close. from what we've seen, I don't know if they announced you as like an academic All-American, or there was some sort of academic honors that came out recently. So congratulations, one, but two, I mean, it's very difficult to, maintain, quality grades while you're there. I'm sure, trying to balance wrestling and academics and all that stuff, on top of all the military and sort of social life that you want to have. Right. How were you able to kind of balance all that stuff? And first, what's your major? Like, are you
engineering management?
Perfect. That's a good one. That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what all the really smart guys do.
Exactly.
you know, it's funny you say your grades were better. I think you see it a lot once you get towards, you know, your away from like that core curriculum type stuff and get into your major classes where you're like, man, this is a little more interesting. I kind of see myself doing this stuff. And it just makes way more sense for people. But, you know, how were you able to kind of balance a lot of that stuff and maintain a really good GPA?
For me, it's all about like organization and something that whenever like we have people come into West Point, the two things I make sure like to tell them is like, you have to have a calendar and you have to be on top of it. So like right away, I set up my calendar for this semester on like the one sheet of paper they give us every year. But I also, for the major grade events, I have a week to week calendar as well. And being organized there, but being ahead of your schedule. So like, I'll make sure I get the big things done on time. But like for nationals, I was getting stuff done for that week, the week prior, because I'm not going to be focused on school whenever I'm at nationals. I just think if you're on top of things, if you get behind at West Point, life gets really bad. So being on top of it and knowing where to focus your time, if you have a 10-point assignment, that's okay. Like if you get a bad grade there compared to a 100-point assignment, focus all your time on that. And I think by doing that, like that's where a lot of people have a hard time. They do really well, like maybe right off the bat, and then they start to like ease off towards the end of the year. But all the major grade events are at the end of the semester. So I think just making sure you can push through, and that's something that helps with wrestling, because like school wrestling, you always get tired towards the end of the year. You always just want it to be over and done with. But being able to push through when it matters most is something that is very important in life in general. So that's something that being able to push through at the end, I think wrestling, I had this year, like during my EIWAs, I was more excited about wrestling at that moment than I was in the beginning of the year. So I think it's something about bringing excitement, finding joy in it, and pushing through. Because I think, yeah, being able to do that is what's going to help you be successful in wrestling, military aspect, and academics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, prioritization is like a life skill. Yeah. You know, you'll get to your platoon sometime and you'll be like, man, these guys can't prioritize anything. And it's, you know, not because like they aren't capable. It's more that they haven't had a situation where they had to figure it out before, or have been, you know, in that situation where they have to. So, you know, that's a huge thing. And, you know, I stress you to, you know, maintain that importance as you move forward, like especially with scheduling and stuff. And like, I think a lot of your lessons, right, you'll be able to pass on as, you know, the grad assistant, you know, as you're helping out, you know, different athletes around West Point, but also, you know, once you get to a platoon, like you'll be able to have a huge impact on that prioritization. And especially like, it'll help you get the results you need, but it'll also help them kind of grow and develop as people. So that's a really good thing. But what I want to know is UN Engineering Management and the DIN branch engineers.
I was actually looking at engineers for the first 2 years. That was what I wanted for sure. However, what really hurt me on that was whenever they had the branch day, where we went out and started walking around talking to everyone, I went up to the engineers like, hey, what's up? And they like were not good recruiters, because they seemed all like individualized, did not care about the people around them. They didn't want to tell me about like, what questions do you have? I was like, I don't know, what is there? And they were like, what do you have to ask? And I didn't know anything. So I was like, all right. And so I kind of like walked away. I went to field artillery and just all of them were new. They didn't know like each other before that week, but they seemed like they were all connected and knew each other so well. And it reminded me of the Brotherhood on Wrestling team. So just seeing how they bonded and like, it really made me interested in field artillery. And then just seeing like the mathematical side to field artillery and seeing how they bond so well, that's what grew my interest in that. So
are you sure it wasn't Lane?
I was shocked Lane went field artillery. I thought he was going to go infantry his entire time here. So it wasn't Lane.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he had a hand. So what they used to have, if you were the grad assistant, you used to wait to find out your post. I don't know when they stopped doing that, but you find out now, and then you really won't get there for, I don't know, a year plus, probably.
Yeah, maybe 15 months.
Yeah. You know, what led to you, you know, wanting Hawaii? I'm sure that was like, you know, everybody kind of puts, you know, Germany, Hawaii, like all that stuff up at the top. You know, was that your first choice or was that something that you really wanted?
It was my first choice. It's something that Chrissy, my fiance, is something she was like, oh, that sounds awesome. Let's do it. And so it was easy. It was easy. Obviously, I knew I would have her approval because it's Hawaii. But I was looking at Germany as well, which I didn't know if I was going to get either because I was like the 29th choice. But Hawaii, there was 4 spots left whenever I went up still. And then Germany just went out, but I was going to go Hawaii first and then Germany if it was still up there. But yeah, so that was my number one choice. And then Fort Campbell would have been my next choice if Hawaii would have been out. But I know a couple of people that went to Hawaii and I've only heard good comments and people like officers are like, if I could go back, I'll go back in a heartbeat. They loved it there. So that's what really sparked my interest.
Yeah, I've never been.
I'll let you know how it is.
My roommate was stationed there. His second, he was a doctor. He went through med school, so he didn't do like the traditional route. But I went back and visited him for a week there. He liked it, but after about 2 years, they were ready to get it. They were good to go. Yeah, that was it. So I mean, you're not gonna have to worry about that. You know, you getting being an AI, you know, and going through school, you're probably gonna get, you know, 18 months, you know, maybe 2 years there. But it's a good problem to have. Hey, I just want to get off the island. You know, it's
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, so you talked, you know, a lot about, you know, earlier in, you know, gratitude and overcoming adversity. Talk to us a little bit about like, you know, your support group at West Point. You spoke about, you know, the brotherhood and all that. So how did that impact your wrestling journey? Not just your wrestling journey, but also your academic, you know, and lifestyle journey while you're at West Point, having the support group around you?
I think like, obviously we don't see any other college, but hearing stories from my brothers that both went to college, their connect group wasn't as good. They had individual friends, but overall people were out for themselves more so. And I think West Point's one of those places, especially on the wrestling team, that if you're struggling in the class, you're gonna have people on you. You're gonna be like, they're gonna be like, come on, you gotta do this. They're gonna find you support. You have the teachers there that they truly want you to succeed. If you made it into West Point, they're going to try to get you through it unless you're the one who wants to fail. So they're going to do whatever they can to try to get you through. And I think that just having the brotherhood around you and the support, everyone, there's study groups we have with teams. That's some of my plebe year. We'd have a study session for like physics for every test. And Sean Fitz, he would come in. He was a senior in a suit and tie and like teach us just little things like that, that were fun memories, but it really helped us get through. So I think that it's amazing seeing the people around us that they truly want us to succeed and care for us.
And so it's a fun thing to say, you know, West Point gets a lot of the, you know, class to student to instructor ratio comments, like on all these times when you're talking about instructors and like why to choose West Point. But one thing that doesn't really get talked about is, you know, at a different institution, like that professor doesn't care whether you pass or fail the class, like they really don't. And at West Point, they really do. Like, you know, and it's awesome to see like that. You know, I hope that always stays the same way. You know, because not that they have to drag people along, but sometimes they're willing to do that if they need to, which is awesome. And you know, you just won't find that many other places.
I agree.
We can kind of get into some other listener questions. I don't know if we hit a lot of stuff already. Brian, if there's anything that we didn't hit, we can jump into.
Yeah, I mean, a very important listener question that came. I don't know if this is an inside joke or not. Peanut butter or jalapeno cheese?
Oh, peanut butter. I like the jalapeno cheese.
I don't know if that's an inside joke or.
I think that's how the MREs.
I'd like to be a part of one of those someday. I figured that was an MRE question.
That's what I thought.
All right, another one I got here. What's your favorite Coach Ward memory?
Well, I think it was the most recent one. Hearing him last week where he said he didn't know how he was going to react after. That's something that I truly thought about. Like, I was like, if I All-American, like, 1 year, like, how would I react? I didn't know, like, would I hug a coach? Would I, like, just be excited? Like, but the first thing was run over. I saw Coach Ward's arms open, and he hugged me, and I – thought he might have broke a rib and me. He was squeezing so hard, but it was a very, very cool experience and just seeing the excitement out of the coaches was amazing. So that's my favorite memory, obviously the most recent too, but that was an awesome experience.
And standing there screaming, you know, in the middle of the match screaming, "All American!"
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
This one comes from Nando Martinez. What was your toughest moment of the tournament?
The toughest moment? Well, two of them. One was trying to get my mindset right after I pinned Makai, and then trying to get my mind recovered to like, now I gotta go wrestle again without like being frustrated about the situation. So it was really hard to like keep wrestling after that, but I was like trying to get my mindset back to, all right, back into the groove. And then my last match against Ed Ruth, when I was winning and then I chose bottom, and then he had my arm, I fell on my shoulder and I kind of messed up my AC joint and my arm went numb. So the remainder of the match, I couldn't wrestle that well using my body and my, maybe I should have called injury time to like try to get my mind recovered, because for the next 2 minutes, all I could think about was my arm and my shoulder. So I think that those two moments were adversity that I was facing, and I could have handled it better and maybe just like, all right, I'm done after this match, push through it, quit thinking about your arm and stuff. But I think that I could have handled those situations better. So
I was expecting a make it weight on day three.
No, it was actually, once I got down to 74, the first three times were extremely hard. But after that, it wasn't too hard. My weight just stays down there until like 2 months later. But day three, yeah, I didn't have to cut weight.
What do you weigh now?
Right now, I'm only like 83.
Really?
Yeah, so I was up to 200 before when I was wrestling 184. And then the first cut to 74, I thought I was about to die. That was awful. And then after that, it just slowly got easier. And now I think that like every year it's been that way. Like it's hard to cut originally, but right after season, I don't gain weight right away. It's not about until like the end of May or June, my weight starts to like get high again.
We didn't talk about it, but when did you make that decision to go down to 74 when you were up wrestling? Like where, like was your weight getting lower and you were like, hey, I should be here? Or was it like performance-based thing, like, hey, these guys are too big? Or like, what was your thought process there?
It was more all of that, because the hardest thing for me was getting my weight up in the first place to like 200. And then with CLDT, I was in the field for 3 weeks. I couldn't keep my weight up and my weight just dropped during that. And then in the beginning of the year, I to cut to 84, I was on weight like no matter how much I was eating after like a hard practice. So I was on weight, and then when I started wrestling, I was carrying around more weight, and then I had a bulging disc injury in my lower back after the first match against Campbell, and then I tore cartilage in my rib, and I was like, what the heck? So by having those injuries, and then also when I was wrestling, I was like, I do not feel like as big as these people. Like, that's a big disadvantage right there. So I was like, it's not going to be hard to get back down to 74. And yeah, just talking to coaches, because it was always a thought, like maybe if see how 84 goes. And I didn't feel great there, and my body was not healthy there, which I thought would be better. I thought not cutting weight even more would make it so my body would feel better. I knew, I was like, it's going to be no difference. I'm going to be now from starting here, I'm going to be stronger at 74, going to be quicker if I lose a little weight. And yeah, I'm happy. Happy I decided to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out.
Logan, you got the next one?
That's it for me. That's all I got, man. I
got a few.
I don't know if you got a couple other ones.
Yeah. Well, someone asked, what was your first postseason meal? But it sounds like you weren't really cutting that much weight. I guess, what was the first meal you had, maybe, you know, after, you know, made All-America, that you were looking forward to? Like, I'm going to have this. Like, this is the first thing I want to have, you know, right after this.
The first thing I had after that was a lot of things were closed. So we went to there was just a side venue of hamburgers they were making fresh. So I had a nice double cheeseburger. But the things I get most excited for, they're not really unhealthy. It was seafood. So I went to Florida. I got some oysters, some crab, and stuff like that. But
oh, yeah,
seafood is my favorite.
That's where it's at. Oysters. Oh, they just eating oysters just makes my day better.
Exactly.
Look at buddies eating oysters just makes my day better. Let's see. This one, I mean, I don't know if I should ask this. I'm going to ask it though. Somebody put it out there. Who do you project to be West Point's next All-American? Or you can elect to say, hey, no comment.
Well, I think we have a lot of great people coming in and returning. I think that, honestly, the four that we brought that were the three freshmen and Ethan, all four of them are 100% capable of being All-American. And they both had a tough route, maybe a couple one-point matches, but they all have what it takes. Obviously, Braden had the closest route. However, Ethan had two really tough guys. Gunner did not wrestle his best tournament, but he seen him throughout the year. He knows how to wrestle really good people, and he can beat really good people. So, and then Lucas is developing in great ways, and he has capability to just work through a couple more positions. There's not one guy I can pick, but because I think all of them are capable. And like Dalton, he was right behind. It was him or Gunner, and I think that he's just as capable too. He just hasn't had the spotlight where. I think next year you'll see him at 74, and I think he has a great opportunity there. So I think that, yeah, we have such a great class coming up, and I think they're all capable. There's not one person in particular. I think they are going to be All-American. So hopefully next year we have multiple.
There we go.
Yeah, the old 4-minute mile, huh?
You may have answered this before, but I'll ask it specifically. What work do you attribute to being able to perform with such a high level of confidence?
I think the biggest thing is my faith and believing in myself, because the coaches let us know, like, they're like, you are good enough. You have the ability, but being able to truly find a way to believe that. And that's something with Doc Z, my freshman year, I went into every week. He really harped on is just, like, whenever you're tired, if you start thinking, I'm tired, of course you're going to be tired. But if you start thinking, no, I want to be tired. And, like, the way you phrase things in your head, that's going to affect you in the match. So by just having fun out there and even in the middle of the match, like, there was times in the middle of the match I gave up a takedown. I was like, oh, shoot. But then I was like, no, I can get the next takedown. I think little things like that and being focused, that's what really attributes to being successful. And that's what helped me get on the podium at the end of the year.
Awesome. Well, that settles it for all the listener questions. Well, there's actually one other, and I'm going to say it because Nana Martinez, he submitted two. He's a funny guy. He says, do you think B-Row could inside trip you in parentheses? I don't either. this is a nice little plug for the gala. I'll be wrestling. I'll be in tip top shape at the gala in about one month from today. So if you know people are coming out, I'm gonna be ready. I don't know if if the class will be in condition to be working out, if it'll just be alumni in the room, but I'm gonna be ready to go.
I've been waiting for you to come out to Midlands. I thought you 2 years ago you were talking about making your appearance.
We all thought so.
Man, there was a window there where I was in pretty good shape. I'm not there, but I got a month to get back. So Listen,
Brian texted me this morning and told me that he had a dream that he inside tripped Jordan Burrow. So
no, I didn't know. That wasn't the other dream. Oh man, I can't believe I'm talking about this. No, I had a dream that I was like, it was basically like a charity event. It was almost like Beat the Streets, where like Ben Askren was wrestling Jordan Burroughs,
Except it was
like
you. That.
We didn't actually wrestle, but it was like all the prep like leading up to it. And like I was like, man, I was like, dude, I'm not in shape. I'm going to get my ass kicked. I was like, maybe I can get one inside trip off. This was all in my dream then. Yeah.
I want to say just, one thing for you, Ben, is, I'm sure this was an awesome moment for you, but it was a really cool moment for a lot of the alumni that I think they got to kind of share that joy with you. I talked about last time, our group chat was kind of going off like crazy, and I'm sure a lot of people were, especially that you're involved with, I'm sure everybody was kind of going nuts too. But I haven't seen that level of excitement in a long time. So you should be really proud, obviously, of what you did, not only for you, but also, it brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. Congratulations and, thank you for all your hard work and, all the great things that you have to say about the program. And, I'm sure you're going to, relish in your coaching role here for a little while and then jump over the alumni side, and you know, before you know it, you'll be doing old guy stuff like me and Brian here. So
yeah, that's something actually I would like to make sure I address, is like the impact that the whole community, the old grads, I think that's something that's so unique that we have, is how, because we have like old grads come by all the time and like talk to us, but the impact that they have and how we truly see like the future we have from what they set, and just the support that we get from everyone around us, and how tightly bonded. It's not just the wrestling team when we're here, it's after. There's so much more, and we always will be that way for the rest of our lives. I think it's something that West Point has, Army Wrestling, that no one else has in the country. So that, and just like the support they offer, as well as like my family, like my parents, I can't think of one tournament or one match they've missed throughout my entire career. And like the sacrifices my fiance's made to come see, I think it's just, it's amazing to see the people around us that truly have helped us get there, as well as like the wrestlers that don't get their recognition. Cause like Joe Metz, he hurt himself last year where he couldn't wrestle this year, but he was my training partner all last year. And like Tanner Craig, he's another big example, but we have so many people that have busted their butt throughout their entire career, never made a starting lineup, but they have committed themselves to the program and to us to make us reach our goals, even though they don't get the recognition. So I think it's really important to be able to see those people have a big impact, the 50 people on a team, even though only 10 people get to show it on the mat. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's a really big thing. And I think that's something we didn't highlight. You know, we've highlighted in the past, but the fact that you guys have so many, you know, firsties on the team that stick around like that, you know, that didn't happen when I was a cadet, you know, talking to, you know, other grads in the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you know, it's, you know, you start out with, you know, 15 to 20 guys and you end with like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. And that was the norm, because it's just, wrestling's tough, you know, but, yes. When your best friends are around there, you know, it makes tough things a lot easier. And I think that's what's different about you guys here, you know, the last several years.
I agree.
Awesome. Well, it's a good place to, you know, to end with, you know, echoing, you know, some of the things, Logan said, it was great moment, you know, in Kansas City, you know, watching it and taking it all in. And, you know, he said, you know, the group text was going nuts. There was about 17 group texts that I was in that was going, it was coming, you know, group texts that I hadn't talked in 2 years. We're starting up again. So it was great to reminisce with some folks and reconnect, you know, and you did that, you know, so I appreciate that. So,
of course. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show, and everybody tuning in still, after about an hour and 10 minutes or so. Thanks for listening. This was a fun one.
Thank you guys very much.
Awesome. Have a good night.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ben.
Of course. Have a great night, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to the B-Haw Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, bhaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, go Army, be Navy.